Voices of Vision with your host, Jane Asher. Jane is inspired daily by discovering the deepest passions in others. Each week, she will be digging deep to find what excites, motivates, and empowers individuals to explore new horizons, achieve their greatest dreams, and live up to their full potential. The time is now for Voices of Vision.
Happy Monday. Welcome to the show. I have an extraordinary guest for you today. I met this young man in the 90s. We actually worked together at IRS Records. We were both in the record industry. And, you know, we recognized each other immediately and became very, very good friends. It was one of those, he's got such a great energy about him. And he has done some just incredible things in the tech world. You know, you went from, first of all, let me just say, Brett Green, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jane. I'm really happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
I'm happy that you're here. He's founder and CEO of New Tech Northwest. And, you know, among other things, you're on the board of directors for Seattle Women in Tech. You're listed with Forbes as one of the top 35 social media power influencers. You are just a beast in the tech world. And when I met you, you were in the record industry. So how did you segue from being this music guy into being this tech person?
Well, the irony of everything I do is I'm not actually a tech person. I'm a person. And so I guess it translates to different fields. And to kind of keep it short to start, a lot of what I do now, I realize, is very similar to what I was doing when I was 19 and when I was in college radio and bringing bands to town and creating community around music. Now I create community around people who love innovation. And it just so happened I was living in Boulder, Colorado, when what, you know, is now startup communities around the world were starting. They didn't even call it startups back then. But what happened is I was meeting people who were, you know, 10, 15 years younger than me, who were coders and who were starting to build these, you know, before apps even, and were building websites. And basically we're doing the same thing as punk rock, where you had five guys living in a house eating ramen because they were so turned on that they got up in the morning and they had to do this thing. And they were so passionate. And I hadn't felt as passionate and happy as I did in college radio since I had left. And this was bizarre, you know, 15, 20 years later, it was coming back around again. And so, you know, these coders, they might as well have been speaking another language with the stuff, the tech talk they were talking around. But all I knew is when I got around them, no matter what level I was out at, when I walked away, I was twice as high, four times, 10 times as high, just because I was around these passionate people that were sharing what they were so turned on about and so we were so inspired about. And it was just so great being around people who were inspired. And the startup community is very similar to how music communities used to be, where people were just bonded by this music that was like air, blood, and water to them. And they had that in common. And the rest of it didn't matter. It didn't matter, you know, how old or young you were, black or white, male or female. It was just that you had this thing you're passionate about and you were so happy. If you think about when you first entered music, and especially if it was underground music that's, you know, wasn't pervasive everywhere, when you met somebody else who like knew that same band from England that most people don't know about, all of a sudden you were friends because you had that band or that song in common. You're like, okay, this one's in my tribe. I want to hang out with this one. And so it was an odd, you know, turn of fate, because I am looked at as a tech person. And the truth is, I don't know how to code and and I don't build technology, but I love passion. I love passionate people. And, you know, having a passion be around innovation is just inspiring. And it's wonderful being around people doing that. And there's plenty to share because people are innovating and they're really just like, you know, bands are trying to make people feel better and help the world. Most people in technology are trying to create solutions to problems. That's how their brains work, is they like problems. They look for problems and they're like, okay, the harder it is to crack, the more I want to work on that nut. and build a solution to make the world a better place. So
right.
It's just how it worked out.
You know what I find so interesting? I started this show because I am so curious. Like, I love to find out what people are up to and innovation, and I don't care what it is, what field they're in. And what's been happening, all of my friends have just branched out and found what it is that they're here to do. And I'm finding this over and over and over, from, you know, building brand new, great new thoughts and new companies and new desires and passions. And I love it, because everybody that does what they're here to do is ending up really successful, because they're speaking their truth. You know, they're finding what it is makes them, you know, like right now I'm vibrating because I love what you're telling me. I love the fact that, because you are such a music guy. And when I met you, you were just like, you know, explosive with your love for music. And, you know, you come from a radio background, and here you are years later, like you said, you know, you don't code, you're not, you know, but you're known now as this tech guy simply because of the passion connected to it. Wow. That is so inspiring. I love it.
Well, I'm just grateful, because a lot of my life career was the one piece that I never totally felt good about, since I,
right.
You know, the radio thing was volunteer. I earned some free credits for school, but I did that because I wanted to. My dad's an early bird, and I wasn't quite so much. And I remember him one morning, I was running out the door at 5:30 to get to my 6 a.m. show on a Friday. And he said, what's going on? Because you don't like to get out of bed till 9 or 10. And, you know, you're flying out of here twice a week, you know, to be somewhere at 6 in the morning, and they're not even paying you. and they,
passion.
You know, that was the first, I mean, I didn't realize it till later on looking back, but that's another big piece of, you know, currency isn't just money. And nothing was so fulfilling for me with that than what I have now. And what I have now, I'm really fortunate. I, you know, call it grace, call it whatever it is, but I just happened to be at the right place at the right time with the right people, and wasn't planned. You know, the radio thing wasn't even planned. Somebody else said, oh, you have a good voice, you're into music, would you like to be on the radio? I never pursued it. And I ended up running a radio station and working for record labels, which I could have, you know, never just planned out to do. And this thing happened the same way. You know, what New Tech's a community. I've intentionally created a community. And I say me, but you know, it's a village. I could not do this if the community wasn't about it. I had a co-founder who helped me put this together, and the way that it worked, the reason it's so successful. You know, we're the fastest growing event in meetup.com history out of 260,000 events.
That's crazy. Just a minute. Really, that is crazy. That is absolutely crazy. So because Meetup is huge.
Yeah.
So you are the fastest growing event. So it's New Tech Northwest is the actual event. So tell me about that. What do you do?
So we're the fastest growing monthly event.
Okay.
So we basically have an hour of networking, bringing people together, and then an hour where we have our top level sponsors each get a minute on stage. And then we have a community section where the first thing we do is have people high five two or three faces around them they don't know, not shake hands, but high five, and say, what are you up to and how can I help?
Wow.
And that's really the basis of everything we do, is what are you up to and how can I help?
And then
we let people for 5 minutes, anyone can stand up for 20 seconds and share an event or something coming up. It's not self-promotion. It's not company promotion. It's training people to be neighbors. And then we have four presenters that go early stage companies to enterprise, like Nordstrom, Amazon, Hulu, Microsoft, that each present some cool tech they've been working on for 5 minutes and have three questions from the audience. So what's really, so the root of this format started in New York. One of the founders of meetup.com actually started it with New York Tech Meetup. And somebody from there brought it to Boulder. When I was in Boulder, I sat in the audience of this for 6 years. And when I moved to Seattle, I didn't want to just get a job. I wanted to give back, and I wanted to be an inspiration for other people just in what I was doing to get mm-hmm. help them get permission. So there's someone who's, you know, really well known in the startup world named Brad Feld, who's a venture capitalist in Boulder. And he founded Techstars. And even before Techstars started, I remember how the community was coming together. And Brad, this is a guy who has more money he'll be able to spend in his lifetime, gives a lot of it away right. without talking about it. And he started just giving his time, and he would show up at things, and he put some things together with the University of Colorado. And he had a series a couple of times, like once a month, he would basically just sit on stage with somebody else who seemed interesting and anybody could ask questions. And I remember at one of those sessions, which what always stuck with me was he told a story about being at dinner with some other really, you know, wealthy people and a good friend of his. And he was telling him about something he was donating a bunch of money to and working on, how passionate he was about it. And his friend said, you know, why don't you tell people about this? And he said, well, you know, I don't want to seem arrogant, and it's just something I do because it's the right thing to do. And the guy said, you know what? What you don't understand is that what you do, people look at. And mm-hmm. when you do something like that, it helps other people give themselves permission to do who they are and what they need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that always stuck with me. And so I don't mean this, I mean this in the humblest way I can say it, is that's ever since I heard that, I was like, how can I do that? Mm-hmm. And I was grateful that nobody had started this in Seattle. You know, there's probably 12 or 15 of these around.
Right.
And it just happens to be, there's a huge recruiting community here. My background was in marketing, and I knew marketing people had budgets, huge companies, and they had these recruiting budgets. And I said, well, if I can put the right people in the room, give them a valuable experience, then these people can fund it because they've got the budgets for it.
Right.
And luckily, you know, that piece worked out. But when we started, we partnered with other organizations in town, and I just saw an opportunity where there were all these silos of passionate people, and there wasn't an umbrella. So I was like, I can build an umbrella. I've never figured out how can I make money being who I am. And, and marketing was the closest thing I could get to it, because who I am is a connector. And mm-hmm. what I love doing is helping people. And it's like, okay, well, how do you get paid to connect people and help people? And and I just knew the experience I had when I was looking at moving to Seattle. I was like, okay, I've been at this event for 6 years. I've been going to networking type of things my whole life. And in 6 years, my worst experience was I went to this event that was like free or $10. They had beer, wine, and some snacks. And there's like 400 people who'd show up every month. And the worst one, I met one cool person, and I like two presentations out of five, and mm-hmm. 2 hours of my time. I'm like, if that's the worst experience,
right?
There's so many other things I went to once, and they were so much worse than that.
Right.
And so the coolest thing is that Seattle has a collaborative culture. And that's the only reason why it works, is because the people like the message of, hey, we're better together than we are trying to do stuff on our own. And whatever I do to help anyone else is going to help build the ecosystem. And that helps everybody. We're raising, you know, all the boats together. And I believe that not everyone, but a lot of people like me are searching for that. And they
right.
want that. And especially now in this, you know, bizarre Trump era, humanity is what matters. And
yes.
and people know that, and people feel that. And we don't have opportunities in our lives to connect with that unless we find a church, or we
sure.
find a certain way to give back or to contribute or donate our time. Those things
right.
are what fill souls. Those are the things
Absolutely.
That make life worth living. And it's not easy to find those opportunities. So that's why our whole basis is, what are you up to and how can I help? Because I even tell the sponsors when I talk to them, the focus of this is, you know, with the how can I help, is that we want people to know this is a neighborhood block party and everyone's invited.
Right.
And when you come in that door, you should feel like the new neighbor on the block just because you chose to show up. And my guarantee is, if you're going to give me an hour or two of your time to come to our event, then you're going to walk out of there with a minimum of two really good people that you met. Might
That's
be
awesome.
Personally, might be professionally, we don't know. But, and we're not going to just hope that works. Everything I'm telling you, I stand on a stage with a microphone and say three times a month. And so, you know, people, we create that context so that, you know, back to what Brad Feld said, we create the context of the event that, hey, this is what you're walking into. And basically it's church without church. You're walking in here and you're in an environment where people are just gonna, you know, be welcoming because you showed up. Right. And I stand on stage and talk about pouring love on people. And, you know, what other networking event or tech event are you gonna go to where, you know, the guy on stage is being vulnerable and talking about love and saying, here, go be cool with each other. And right. So what happens is because the environment says you walked into this place where you're expected to be cool to each other and to be curious about each other and to, for lack of a better word, you know, love each other, then you don't have to feel like it's weird, you know?
Absolutely.
So people walk and they exhale, they drop their shoulders, and they get to be human with each other while they do business and connect with business connections.
I love it. My guest today is Brett Green, founder, CEO of New Tech Northwest. You can go to newtechnorthwest.com if you want to get a hold of him and connect with him. We'll be back in just a minute, and we're going to talk more about this because it's really all about your passion, and it's really coming through loud and clear. I love that you're pouring love on people. And the classic line is, what are you up to and how can I help? We'll be back in just a bit.
Voices of Vision with Jane Asher. We'll be right back on Empower Radio.
Hi there. It's Nancy Newcomer, host of the Back to the Kitchen Minute here on Empower Radio. And if you're ever in the San Francisco Bay Area, you can listen to me on 98.5 KFOX. About 3 years ago, I started using the Go Cleanse system. I lost some weight, started feeling really good. And here it is 3 years later. And guess what? I still have that Go Cleanse shake every single morning. I actually crave it. It's really good. Some awesome flavors. I really like to combine the chocolate and vanilla together. It's kind of my little concoction. Put a little cinnamon in it. But the best thing about it, besides how great it tastes, is that it's full of all the vitamins and nutrients and minerals I need, so I don't have to pop a bunch of extra supplements. It's something that I've incorporated into my daily life. It really makes me feel good. And if you want to check out the Go Cleanse system, I would highly recommend it. Pop over to their website at gocleanse.com. See what the program's all about. They can answer your questions there as well. Gocleanse.com.
Welcome back to Empower Radio's Voices of Vision with your host, Jane Asher.
My guest today is Brett Green. He is the founder and CEO of NewTechNorthwest.com and just full of passion and, you know, kind of promise. And you mentioned the word grace, and that's what I hear with you. You know, you're connecting people. Let's talk about what, you know, women in tech, because I have a daughter right now that's going to school for computer science, and it's a really, really tough major, but she is up for the task and she absolutely loves it. There's not as many women in tech. Why do you think that is?
Oh, Jane, that's so loaded. I think the basic reason there's a couple of things. One, for women and men, America in the last 20, 30 years did not invest in this field. And that's another, you know, issue that comes up around visas and bringing people in from other countries. And what's happening now is, do you know what Moore's Law is?
No.
Okay, so Moore's Law, I'm probably not going to say this totally correctly, this happened in the 60s or something. It was basically when they created computer circuits, and they said, basically, with the power of this computing and with the way we're able to keep making them smaller and coming up with new ways for them to work, the power of it will double every, year or two. And so that kind of exponential growth has been going on since the 60s. And mm-hmm. we don't have people trained to deal with all of the ways we can use this technology. So that's one piece. Another piece is just that, this blew my mind. I actually just learned this at our last Women in Tech event. They have eBay has their own Women in Tech program, and the woman who runs that in Seattle shared that they have now, you know, proven through multiple studies, if you don't turn a girl onto math and science by the time she's, I think, in fifth grade, it's either, if it's not before fifth grade, she won't do it. She won't get into math and science.
Well, they're told that you don't have the brain for it. I mean, I've read multiple articles about that. It's like, oh, you know, you need to go, you know, do something else, that it's not math. It's always, that's really ridiculous, because women have the brain power. You know, they just have
more than men do, probably. It's just that they weren't given the opportunities. And like you said, they weren't told that. And then this is a weird thing. It's like, so what they realize is that there's tons of really wonderful girls in tech programs. So I'll use this as an opportunity to plug. We have a resource page on our website at newtechnorthwest.com. And there's a whole slew of things you can find on there. But one of them is women and girls in tech. And so you can find organizations that deal with that. And you can find programs. There's a lot of wonderful free programs for kids, and specifically for girls now, because they know we got to get them interested in it, and we got to make them feel confident about it before fifth grade, or we lose them. Because for whatever reason, when they try to turn them on in 10th grade or 12th grade or in college, they can't. I don't know if, you know, what it is. I didn't read the study, but that just kind of made it even more urgent of like, we got to really take care of this early.
Okay.
And it is changing. And there's a big focus on making that better and bringing more women in tech. And a lot of companies now are actually specifically looking at the percentages of men and women on their boards and in the companies to make that.
Okay. Change. All right. I'm going to switch gears here. You were invited to go to the White House. How does that happen? Tell me about that experience.
That's grace.
that's incredible.
It was luck and timing. I mean, I had started this. We've been doing this for 4 years. We have about 30,000 members now across Seattle, Portland, Bellevue, and Tacoma. Portland's an affiliate, but I mentor them and we work together. But we at the time had 9,000 members, I think, after 2 years. And so we were the fastest growing. And so they had tech meetup at the White House. They invited 50 organizers of tech meetups, along with congressmen and mayors and people like that, because it turns out that meetups are driving a lot in for small businesses and in the economies of cities. And a lot of the city officials have no idea that meetup even exists. But the people are finding each other and creating these groups to meet up for free. To just share and help each other. And so it was basically to turn them onto that. So we spent a day at the White House, and I was really fortunate that I was asked to be one of the speakers. So I got my 3 minutes behind the podium that the president stands behind. Again, nothing that was on my bucket list, had no plan for that. I got an email with the seal of the president saying, hey, do you want to come to this, out of nowhere? And I literally almost fell backwards because I was like, what,
so
where
great.
Did this come from?
Wow. So, this show is flying. We only have a few more minutes. And I want to touch on a couple other things. You actually taught me how to do Twitter. I mean, I remember when I first signed up, I don't know, 8 years ago, and I had no clue. And I looked at you and I'm like, wow, you had like thousands of followers at the time. You now have 154,000 people following you on Twitter, and you're super generous in the fact that you actually taught me. And I love the medium. It's crazy what you've done. I mean, you really, really have put yourself in the center of something that's full of passion. What's coming up for New Tech Northwest? Like, what can you tell me about what's coming up next, and what's your big dream here?
The big dream is always just helping more people. And one thing we do is we've helped thousands of people get jobs. So we actually just had our first job fair. We were hoping for 300 people. We had 600. So we're going to keep doing that. So we're going to do that twice a year. Personal front, after, 20 years of saying I need to write a book, I'm actually, working with some people to get a book out so that I can do more consulting and speaking. Because I'm really trying to figure out is how do I take the humanity piece of this and building community and create that in a way that I can speak to more people outside of just our events and consult with companies and organizations so that they can kind of put that piece in there. Because what's really bizarre with this whole secret sauce of just treating people like people is that it's easier. You feel better and mm-hmm. you actually make more money and have a better company and people want to be there.
Right.
And for some reason, even though it's easier, people don't realize it.
Right. I'll tell you one thing right now, and we're going to close here in 60 seconds. Mm-hmm. There is nothing that you can't do. And it is because you are coming from a space of grace and heart and love. And that is why you're successful, period. I know it. I'm already seeing you on big stages. I'm seeing that book be a huge success, a New York Times bestseller. So good for you. Keep doing what you're doing because everybody needs to hear the words, what are you up to and how can I help you? I love it. Brett Green, you are the best. Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you so much, Jan. I really, really greatly appreciate the opportunity.
Inspired? Motivated? We hope so. Join Jane next week as she connects with another motivated soul, driven to live their life's purpose on Voices of Vision, here on Empower Radio.